Hello and welcome to On Sacred Ground on the LMC Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting the voices of the land and of the dead by weaving together history, ethnography, and spiritual experience. I'm your host, Kai Armand, and if you're tuning in online and having technical issues, remember that you can listen to the show by calling in via your phone or Skype to 657-383-0525. That's 657-383-0525. To those of you who are listening live and are in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. This is our 22nd episode of On Sacred Ground, broadcasting live at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, on this July 25th, 2015. This episode is focused on spiritual activism, current events, and what I call a general topic of difficult decisions. So if you have any questions, comments, or would like to share some of your stories or ideas, please call in at 657-383-0525. And again, this is a call-in show. It would be, I know that a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about spiritual activism, what's been going on in our world. Obviously, you know, this whole show is really geared towards spiritual activism. And I will be honest, today I will probably be repeating a lot of things I've said in past shows, but I'm repeating them with the hope of focusing them toward where we are today. And I mean today as in July 25th, 2015. So I hope that I'm not a bore. I also hope that I'm not a ranter. But I invite you, if you're listening, I'm truly grateful. That's, you know, that's all I can ask, you know, with having a radio show that people listen. So today, as we do every single week, we'll be beginning with a poem slash prayer from the book Earth Prayers from Around the World, 365 prayers, poems, and invocations for honoring the earth. And today's poem slash prayer comes from Louisa Teach, that absolutely wonderful beacon of hope, author of the well-known book Jambalaya, just truly a beautiful spirit worker that we've had in our age. And it reads, "All that I have comes from my mother. I give myself over to this pot. My thoughts are on the good. The healing properties of this food. My hands are balanced. I season well. I give myself over to this pot. Life is being given to me. I commit to sharing. I feed others. I feed she who feeds me. I give myself over to this gift. I adorn this table with food. I invite lovers and friends to come share. I thank you for this gift. All that I have comes from my mother." I don't usually begin this show with a energy practice, but I've been, speaking of hard decisions, truly trying to commit myself as of late to a daily practice, not necessarily a daily magical practice, not necessarily a daily, you know, practice that's geared toward, you know, necessarily working on behalf of others, but really calling in those energies that are going to sustain me throughout the day. And as I've been doing so, I have found it to be tremendously important. So I'm going to share a bit of that personal practice with you right now, whether you are listening live or in the archives, whether you're listening while you're working. You know, obviously, you don't have to stop driving your car to do what we're going to do. But I invite you to, you know, today, right now, anytime during the day, you might listen back and try this out. But what we're going to do right now is just take deep breaths. I especially feel like I need this for today's topic. Taking deep breaths, and imagine yourself growing very, 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 very large large so that you reach the stratosphere and go beyond that, going beyond the stars, the moon, the sun, reaching up to that highest power in the universe by whatever name you know it, and experiencing it as a golden energy filled with vitality and blessing, and feeling that connection that you have with that highest power in the universe. And letting that golden energy just fill you up from above, pouring into your hands, your head, pouring down your body and through every cell in your body. And as it pours through every cell in your body, it pushes down anything that doesn't serve you for today. Down, down, down into your pelvic area and into your feet, where you feel grounding cords stretch out from you to the very center of the earth. Cool place filled with restorative yin energy. Restful energy, and the energy of feeling safe, and the energy of experiencing belonging. You feel your grounding cord, this cord that you're imagining from the pelvic area or from your feet, connected to this place in the center of the earth, and pull up a silver energy from the center of the earth into your body, through your feet, through this grounding cord, the silver energy of restoration, of at home, because you are at home, meant to be here right now at this time. Like a straw, you pull up the silver energy through your body, and it mingles with the golden energy that you pulled down, mingling in every cell, igniting as they mingle together. These energies heal you. These energies restore you, pulling them up through your chest, your neck, your head, all the way back up to that highest power in the universe. And those energies, that higher power in the universe gathered before that don't serve you, you push down through your grounding cord to the center of the earth and watch them blow up to smithereens. And likewise, the silver energy that you're pulling up like a straw or like a tree from the center of the earth also gathers anything that doesn't serve you, pushing them upwards to the highest power in the universe by whatever name you know it. You just watch those energies just blow up as you experience this mingling of vitality, restoration, and blessing move throughout your body. Expressing gratitude to the above and to the below. Today I would like to call in a number of energies right now. One of those energies is our ancestral helping spirits, ancestors of ours, collective ancestors of ours, who lived well and died well. Those who made it through the veil, reconciled their lives, and came back to accompany us, bringing the full breadth of wisdom gleaned from their lives, and total access, total unfettered access to their gifts for us to continue to make use of and work with. I call forth those ancestral helping spirits who were courageous and who met the challenges of their time, no matter what time or place they lived in, no matter what their society looked like. Those who met the challenges of that time and space with heart and beauty. I call them in right now. And I call forth the energy of the archetype of the warrior who moves with courage, and the warrior who is able and willing to do that incredible act of warriorship that is standing in the midst of discomfort. Standing in discomfort until energies within themselves or in the outside world change and a clear path toward action opens up. I call forth those wise sages in every culture who understood and understand the true energy of oneness. That oneness is not an apathetic term. That oneness, as hijacked as it might be right now in our culture, that word, is truly an actionable idea. Otherwise, it would not be oneness. Those wise sages who know this, I call forth the energy of song, especially those songs that throughout cultures all over the world have been used to sing in those being born, those mothers and grandmothers who, finding out that their daughters and granddaughters were pregnant, knew that it was time to sing in this new soul that was choosing to incarnate in their families, tribes, and communities, singing for their protection on their journey, singing in gratitude for their journey, knowing that this soul was bringing great medicine, singing the call-in song. My notes for today's talk are scattered, and it's been a while since I've been doing, since I've done a solo show, and I'll be honest, it's because they terrify me. I truly find it very intimidating to speak for an hour to an hour and a half on topics of interest to me, but that is perfect because today is all about hard decisions again. In addition to talking about some exercises that I think that are really important, I'm definitely going to be speaking anecdotally about some things that have happened recently in my own life. But before we even get to that, let's be honest about some of the stuff that's going on in our world today. What happened to Sandra Bland? If you don't know who Sandra Bland is or why her story has rocked the nation and the world, please look it up. Sandra Bland was a young woman who was traveling to Texas to begin a new job at her alma mater and was pulled over, seemingly, for failing to signal a lane change. And the dash cam video of her arrest is all over the web. It's very painful to watch. Many people that I know have said outright that they've cried while watching it. And not only was she arrested for this very sort of minor traffic violation, she was found dead in her jail cell just a couple of days later. And obviously this is yet another tragedy in the ongoing saga of Black people in America and Black women in America and women in America and police brutality. And there are a lot of theories as to why she was found dead. Was it by suicide? Was there foul play involved, etc.? But we are all gripped by the situation. And often, I believe many of us are also befuddled how can this continue? Why is this continuing? Why is black blood constantly being spilled in the streets? And what do we do about it? Thursday night in Lafayette, Louisiana, a man in a movie theater opened fire and killed two individuals, I believe also injured others, and also killed himself in another, at least attempted, mass shooting in America. It is said that this man was a known Confederate flag lover and white supremacist. And here we are, amid another tally mark in the story of America and mass shootings. But I want to tell you a different story. And this story is about a young woman here in New York who I actually interviewed some months ago, Courtney Weber. We did a wonderful interview regarding her book on the goddess Brigid. She's a Wiccan priestess here in New York City. And she contacted myself and my partner Langston, asking us if we would like to be involved in a healing ritual here in New York, here in Brooklyn, just to create some sort of space. We had just this energy of, we need to do something. And if you listen to that episode, she is a powerhouse at doing something when it comes to combining spirituality and activism. And she said, we need to do something. And I'm really excited about having a space where we can talk about racial violence and healing in America. And I was really busy at the time, but I felt like, you know what, I agree, we need to do something. I don't necessarily know what I had to offer here besides sort of basic tools and ideas for rituals, sort of the basics. We originally thought, you know what, wouldn't it be great if everyone was on a shamanic journey and went to their helping spirits and asked, how do I contribute to this energy of pain and racial violence and oppression in America? And then doing a fire ritual, asking for the fire to release that energy, to help us to get rid of whatever that was. We go into our helping spirits, make it very clear to us, one thing I do that contributes to oppression in America, and then taking that, writing on a piece of paper, calling on Grandfather Fire, who is excellent at helping remove energies, taking things away, fire, devouring, and asking Grandfather Fire to take this energy away from us so that we can live in a new way. So that was the idea. But the great thing about ritual is that ritual is rarely what we expect, and I will probably be doing next week's show just on the energy of ritual and how to perform rituals and what rituals are and their potential. So we gathered together, there were about 10 of us, I believe, and we began with a talking circle around a fire, a nice little campfire that was going. And the talking circle was simply talking about recent events and how they've been impacting us personally. And people were very emotional. People were recalling earlier life experiences in regards to racism that they experienced or racism that they saw exhibited by family members and how that impacted them in the way they see the world. And while this talking circle was going on, I was staring at the fire, who we had sung to, given offerings to, this fire burning bright. And as I'm looking at the fire, the wood in the fire begins to just change shape. And again, ritual is awesome because it always includes this element of the unknown and the unexpected. We're just creating space for spirit to really move and create change. And this wood in the fire that we had sung to and given offerings to became the burning roof of a church. And the fire spoke to me and said, you know, I'm the same fire that burns down churches throughout the South. And I was like, whoa, fire. That's pretty heavy. That is true. That is an undeniable truth. You are the same energy that burns down churches all throughout the South. As if you don't know, there have been a string of church burnings throughout the South as of recent. But in my understanding, this is actually just something that we are finding out has been going on for decades and centuries. It's been going on, the burning of Black churches. And as I'm looking in the fire, that same wood transforms into a cross. And the fire tells me, I am the same fire that burns crosses on Black people's lawns, that terrifies little Black girls who are afraid to leave their home, who have for centuries worried if a bomb might come crashing through their window and end their little precious life. I am that same fire in that terror, in that act of terrorism, burning a cross on Black people's lawns throughout the South. I'm that same fire. And I'm sitting here thinking, what does this mean? And quickly, the idea of you are responsible. I am fire. What are you going to do with me? I'll burn anything, whatever you put me to. I'll burn a church. I'll burn a cross. Whatever you put me to, I'll burn. So what are you going to do about it? And before long, one of my helping spirits, that I work with a great deal, began to sort of tickle the back of my neck, and I began to feel very, very drowsy, and I was wondering, what's going on? I feel like there's some kind of energy that wants to speak. And I entered into a sort of minor form of possession, and let her come through. And then the circle of conversation, of dialogue, of emotion, she came through laughing, truly cackling, and saying to us and the group, did you not just hear fire? This fire that you put to crosses on Black people's lawns, that you put to Black people's places of worship. When are you guys going to wake up? How long are you going to continue making this decision? You guys chose this. You guys chose to experiment with divisiveness, to experiment with the idea of supremacy. And this is where it has brought you. Maybe it's time for the experiment to end. That's up to you. But until you take responsibility for this fire, these fires that burn across your nation, these fires that are the spark that leads to a bullet leaving a gun, realizing that that same fire is in your own hearts, this fire of rage, this fire of anger, this fire of hatred, this fire of lies that you were given, nothing's going to change. And then she laughed some more. And then she led everyone in a big song that went, the fire's gonna burn, the fire's gonna burn. Hi ho, the derry-o, the fire's gonna burn, the fire's gonna burn, the fire's gonna burn. Hi ho, the derry-o, the fire's gonna burn. This fire will burn. This fire that we did start, contrary to that song, we started this fire. And by we, I mean we as human beings. We who are the descendants of our ancestors who made some pretty stupid fucking choices. We who are those ancestors, we started this fire of oppression. And until, oh, and the other thing she said was, don't come to the sacred powers asking us what to do. You make the fire. And it was very clear in that moment that what we needed, not in that ritual, was more fire, but that we needed water. And we thank that helping spirit, and we thank fire for its wisdom. We said adieu to it, and brought out a cauldron of water. And each of us made libations to the energy of water to cool our heads and our hearts. And to bring in what fire was sort of saying you really needed, which was the energy of reconciliation and the energy of healing that water is so excellent at embodying and symbolizing. And we each made libations to that water, thanking it for its wisdom. And in a circle, we felt connected to that water, and we felt our hearts connected to each other. And it was truly a different energy than we had started the ritual with. It was truly a different energy than we had expected the ritual to end with. It was truly a different energy than we think about when we think about the words activism or spiritual activism. We think about the idea of the warrior, and we think about someone with a red cape. We think about someone with red armor. Fire, fire, fire. The energy of fire, always action, always moving forward. And we don't think about the energy of water. And that the warrior is, if they are really a warrior, a healer. And that the warrior, if they are truly a warrior, does not act brashly and unwisely. The warrior, to truly be a warrior who is acting on behalf of their community and their culture, is acting from a place of courage on behalf of the healing and well-being of their community. I always think of the Knight of Wands card from the tarot as a very warrior kind of card. He's young, he's in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, he's young, he's moving forward, he's, you know, filled with fire, his horse looks, you know, like he's ready to start something. But I always look at the Knight of Wands and I always feel like, but he's moving in the wrong direction. I always feel like he's got all this fire, he's got all this vigor, all this youth and excitement, but I just wish he would just turn around. He just doesn't look like he's moving in the direction of my tarot spread. So there's this question of wisdom, and there's this question of action, and the necessity of applying action toward wisdom as we seek to bring healing to our world right now, and as we seek answers as to what happened to Sandra Bland, and how can we stop what happened to Sandra Bland from happening ever again, whether to someone across the country that we've never met or to one of our own family members. And I know that, again, this idea of water, of healing, so sappy, so out of reach. Again, coming back to this idea of oneness, of reconciliation, far less exciting than the idea of picking up arms, whether those arms be guns, or those arms be blast candles to curse our enemies. I believe many of us don't actually believe that healing is possible, or that we don't necessarily know what the energy of healing feels like. And in our culture, that is perfectly understandable. So one thing I'm doing in this today's episode is invite you to suspend your disbelief, to suspend your disbelief in the energy of healing, to suspend your disbelief in the energy of transformation that results in reconciliation. And by reconciliation, I don't mean it's all right now. I certainly don't mean all lives matter. Of course, all lives do matter. I'm alluding to the hashtag that is often used to create dissonance from the Black Lives Matter movement. It's sort of used to detract attention from that. Obviously, the Black Lives Matter movement is coming out because our judicial system does not understand that Black Lives Matter. So yes, all lives matter, but Black Lives Matter, and that is what is being said right now because it is thoroughly misunderstood and not taken to heart. I mean healing that is actionable, reconciliation that actually is about truth being on the table, healing being on the table, and a new way of moving forward. Not only being possible, but being here right now. For all of us, for the world that we chose to incarnate into. Talk about hard decisions. We made this choice. You made the decision to be here now. What are you going to do about it? You made this choice.
Locks like ropes, outside living on the land. I plant, I cook, I love, I pray, I cope. Naturalistic, realistic, pop culture paints us as freaks. Not so, we lived in the belly of the beast, trying to plant seeds, but strong weeds make the seeds not grow. Monster in the yard, red leather, drop top, all silver, and I'm fine with my factory rims. Feeling like this world is a house on fire, and we snatching as many as we can from within. God provides money to fulfill inner fantasies while still giving to our like-minded kin. Don't want the thoughts of the negative tribes to provide any doubt for my thoughts deep within. Can't
keep me 100 miles outside Sao Paulo.
Get it? Yes, I'm a prince, yet a servant and a king, yet a slave and a hypocrite at times, I admit it. Most of the battles in life is fought in the mind, not the body, but the body will show it. Whoever this song resonates to, it's all by design in your life, and you know it when you know it. So
deep in, 100 miles outside Sao Paulo.
Their praises and the children laugh with wonder while the starry nights protect us and the elders give their blessings while the woman look with gladness and the birds sing in the wilderness as we celebrate our love. There's no hanging advertisements, there's no placements or endorsements, there's no glitter that ain't gold. It's a wisdom from days old.
Oh, are listening to the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. The longest-running conjure show in the universe, it may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time, Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa. This is the meeting place for all esoteric traditions. Candelo brings his insight as a Polero and eclectic spiritualist to his interviews with peers in Afro-Caribbean lineages, as well as representatives of numerous other spiritualities and religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. Tuesdays feature two wonderful shows to suit your taste. On the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance and tips on the practical use of crystals and crystal balls. His show starts at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and lasts for 1 hour. Next is In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly provides up-to-the-minute reports on civil and social rights issues. Her one-hour show airs on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. On Wednesday nights, come out and join Liquid Libations. Andrea Weston hosts this informal sharing and showcasing of poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances, contributed by novices and professional wordsmiths. Call in and read your work. Liquid Libations may be heard on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the professor shares his knowledge of roots, delivers the lucky numbers, and explores the secrets of scriptural sorcery. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern, tax and license may apply, train departure times and Burma shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Lucky Mojo Curio Company is based in sunny Forestville, California, and provides traditional spiritual products for remediating all kinds of conditions. Locate them online at luckymojo.com or visit them in person to see the world's smallest church, Missionary Independent Spiritual. We're back on All Sacred Ground. I'm your host, Kaya Mond, and today we are discussing spiritual activism, current events, and the necessity of being willing to make difficult decisions. Today's podcast was born out of some thoughts and recent happenings in my own world. Often in my own world, you know, revolves around Facebook, as I say every episode. Oh, I need to get out more. And the thoughts that arose within me, to not have to go into too deep of detail, were about the energy of us versus them, us versus them energy, which is, I think, often where we feel left when we think about Sandra Bland and when we think about the shooter in Lafayette, Louisiana. It's very, it almost feels like common sense. These experiences have a pattern. It was a white man, a Confederate flag-flying white supremacist white man who carried out the shooting in Lafayette, Louisiana. It was, of course, a white police officer involved in Sandra Bland's case. And I, here in Brooklyn, New York, did not commit these crimes. It must be about them, whether them is these two individuals or whether them is white people or white racists or those people over there who don't think the way I do. It's really about them. So the idea of the idea that has been espoused throughout the ages, all of the sages, all of our holy books, always, always, always coming back to this idea of oneness and praying for your enemies, etc. It sounds, these ideas sound so cute and so holy, and we know because we've experienced love and bliss once before, and we've had that experience of the true love experience where we cried because we really realized how beautiful Earth and all of creation is. We know, but in this moment of not just anger and righteous anger, but seeming common sense, how does that apply? How does the idea of oneness apply to this experience? So last night, I'm out with some friends, a night out on the town. I'm trying to get out more. It's a pledge to myself. And I'm out with some friends, and we are cavorting through Manhattan, very drunk, good time. And a young man who definitely falls into a demographic that it would be easy for me to be on guard about, not only because of current events in America, but because of my own life path as a queer brown person, walks by my group and just put it out there. He's a young white man in a button-down shirt and a tie, who's straight, on the arms of most likely his girlfriend, and mocks my group. And I'm drunk. And I'm thinking, oh, this guy wants to fight. And I've got that fire in me, that good old, fire water going inside me. And I'm pretty much going to dance, or I'm going to fight. That kind of, or I'm going to, paint the town red. That kind of excited energy is inside me. And I hear him say something about one of the people in my group, a beautiful non-binary trans person who's in my group, who's just not just beautiful in heart and soul. I mean, this person is beautiful, physically stunning. And I turn to him and I say, dude, you really should pay attention to, yourself. You should, we're a big group of people. And he kind of wrestles himself out of his, the person who's escorting him, because he himself is very drunk, wrestles himself out of that person's arms and sort of looks like he's wanting to engage. And in that moment, I see the part of him that caused him to make the statement that he made about my friend. And sure, on the surface, that part of him is full of hatred for diversity. Beneath that hatred, so obvious, is the energy of fear. And how this person, who is my friend, scares him because this person, who is my friend, challenges his idea of beauty. This person, who is my friend, challenges his idea of what's possible in our world. And in one flash moment, I see all of the times that someone in his life stopped him from being who he really is. I see the web of lies that surround him and constrict him and cause him to choose the way of life that he has chosen, to not buy that more flashy tie that really spoke to him because he wants to fit in, to not have gone down the road of the occupation that he really wanted because of fear of scarcity that was put in him about the world, that he is indeed a zombie. a terrified child moving through the world, suffocated out of his own glory, suffocated out of his own birthright to truly be who he came here to be. And in his own defense, an act of self-defense, this lashing out at the beauty around him and the freedom that he sees. And I also saw the ancestor. The ancestor who themselves did not get to be who they were, did not make the decisions, those courageous, terrifying decisions that would have helped them to be who they were. I saw that ancestor on their shoulder, possessing them in their drunken state to act out in this way, because they themselves, that ancestor, had not moved on. And they themselves had left a legacy to this young man walking down the street in Manhattan, a legacy of inability to truly live their power and who they are. In all this talk of water and fire, I am not saying that there is no righteous anger. There is righteous anger. But there's also actions that are born out of stillness and the power of stillness, the power of being with difficulty that can change everything. I would not have seen those things had I not, for the past 3 years, been heavily involved in a practice that I've mentioned time and time again on this show, that I always encourage people to please research or take a class with Langston Kahn of shamanbomb.com, emotional clearing. Because it is through my practice of emotional clearing that I save myself from toxic anger. Because when Langston introduced me to that practice, I was angry. I still am angry. But I was angry in a way that was killing me. I was angry in a way that made me feel powerless. Powerless against the forces that caused what happened to Sandra Bland to happen. Powerless against the forces that caused what happened in Lafayette, Louisiana to happen. And being able to actually be with those triggers that were coming up in my body and in my emotions and heal them at their root, recognizing that at that moment of anger, I was not only angry about, say, Sandra Bland, or the person who had denied me some experience of dignity, but I was also angry about a childhood experience. And this was really fueling the moment, anger about a childhood experience of being denied. Once I began to clear those early childhood experiences through the practice of emotional clearing, my anger changed drastically. I was not a madman with a machete in my hand, ready to cut off anyone's head. But I was able to be brought to a place, and it is an ongoing practice, of stillness and recognizing what's really going on that can lead to decisive, true action that is more in alignment with the archetypal energy of the warrior than we realize. But those are the hard decisions. Those are the hard decisions. And we see it. We see it in our hero movies, in our martial arts movies. We're rarely just seeing people blowing up buildings, you know, our heroes, the protagonists, blowing up buildings, killing everyone. There's some moment where they step into their heart and they say, what's the decision that needs to be made here? And the decision is sometimes I'm not going to kill this person. Often at the end of the movie, it's, I'm not going to kill this person who's caused all this tragedy in my life because they're not worth it. Or I see, they have a moment of seeing how important it is that this quote-unquote enemy actually live. That it's actually for the greater good that this person live. Or if killing is going to happen, it is decisive. It is with swiftness. It is with a wisdom. And it brings to mind the idea of sort of killing delicately. Obviously, the choice to kill, the choice to harm, the choice to curse, these are on the table, and these are not necessarily bad choices. Death is an important part of life. Every time I clean my house, I am engaged in an act of death. I need to get rid of things that are causing harm. Are there energies, are there people in our world that maybe best serves us to get rid of the world to be a better place? I think so. But who? And are there energies in me that maybe it serves to focus on first? Who in me needs to die to make this world a better place? Who in me needs to die? What part of me? What wound am I still holding on to? And if you yourself find that you are triggered by someone in the world, whether that person be transgender, of a different color, whether that person be a mother in Walmart who hits her child, sure, there's righteous anger. And then if you were to be with that for a moment, is there something else inside you that isn't righteous anger that actually needs to die to truly be with and assess what's going on? The hard decisions we have to make are to change our perspective, the perspective of us versus them, and to come into alignment with the idea of oneness and the idea that there's nothing I see in the world that is painful, that is harmful, that is not also inside of me. And the greatest act of spiritual activism, I believe, is that courageous act of warriorship, of turning inwards and paying attention to that part of me and to resolving that part of me that is out of alignment with the joy I want to see in the world. In many contemporary indigenous communities and pre-contact indigenous communities, mental illness in one person is seen as symptomatic of mental illness in the entire community. An unrighteous act of violence, sociopathology, if this is being exhibited in one person, then the entire group of people comes together and says, this is a gift. This is a gift for us to look inside ourselves and to now do ritual and ask spirit, how is this exhibited in this one person, symptomatic of our whole group, of the whole organism? Show us so that we can resolve this energy. And through those rituals, the entire community and that person change. There's some sort of leveling up for everyone that's involved. I recently had a client come to me because his wife got pregnant, and this was bad timing as far as he was concerned. And they had agreed before getting married that they would not have children for 5 to 10 years. And she got pregnant, and he was sort of coming to me saying, you know, this is ruining our marriage because she is still, she's actually choosing to have this child and I feel betrayed. And he had told me that he had been to a few different healers who had spoken to the fetus and said, this is not a good time. He had gone to his grandmother, who was also very intuitive, who herself, in her assessment of the situation, said, no, this is not a good time. And with all of this sort of, you know, shamanic communication with the fetus, it was expected that the child, that his wife would miscarry, that the child, the spirit of this child would understand and say, you know what, this is not a good time, I'm going to move on. This is actually not uncommon. There are, this actually does happen a great deal. But it wasn't happening. This child was not moving on. And he came to me and he said, well, what can you do? And I said, well, then there's obviously some information that's missing here. So I offered to journey for him. And when I journeyed for him, to the spirit of this growing fetus, very tender, very nervous, and I asked the child, what are you scared about? And the child pointed to a man in the journey. And the man was an ancestral helping spirit on the mother's side of the family, her grandfather or great-grandfather, something along those lines. And I asked him, so what's going on? And I felt this energy of pushing, that this was the primary energy in the fetus's life. That was, despite everything that was going on in the outside world, and trust me, fetuses know a lot more about what's going on. The spirit of fetuses know a lot more about what's going on outside the world of mommy's tummy than we think. That despite everything that was going on, this ancestral helping spirit was telling this child, don't worry, keep going. Don't worry, keep going, be born. And I explained to the ancestral helping spirit, I said, well, you know, the father here is really worried about this marriage. The father here really doesn't feel this is a good time for him economically to be having a child. And this ancestral helping spirit took off his hat and threw it on the ground and said, it's a great time. This is the perfect time for this child to be born. This is the perfect time in our ancestral legacy for this child to be born. We have been cultivating these gifts for centuries. And this child is going to have wonderful influence on people of influence in this world. It is the perfect time in our ancestral legacy for this child to be born, and it is the perfect time on earth. We, the ancestors, have been praying and dreaming up this soul. We called out, we sang for this spirit to be born today. It is the perfect time. The ancestor showed me that once the child was born, that this ancestor was actually going to be taking a step back and would not actually be the primary ancestral helping spirit of this child. That there was actually a female ancestor further back in the line who was bringing gifts that in the journey looked like a platter of the most delectable fruit, that this ancestor would be accompanying this child after they were born. And that this child would be exhibiting many of the same gifts that this ancestor displayed. And that these are the gifts that not only would they be bringing to people of influence as they grew up, but that these are the gifts that they would be bringing to the family. That this child, simply by being so gifted, would be causing a togetherness in the family that hadn't been seen in years. And that despite the economic worries, this child, simply by being born, would create something that looked a lot like a holy family energy between the father, the mother, and the child. This is the perfect time for this child to be born. But I asked the ancestor, well, usually in this kind of journey, I'm moving energy around with my helping spirit, but this was really a divinatory trance. I was just gathering information to bring back to this father so that to help him make a wiser decision, a decision based in wisdom. Whatever decision that would be, he needed to have the information to make a good decision, to make a decision that not only served him, and this ancestor was saying, this serves him, this serves the family, but also served our world. And I said to this ancestor, well, this guy, you know, the father of this child is really worried. What do you suggest? And this ancestor said, there's a man in the father's life who is an older man who can impart a sort of manly wisdom, a heart-to-heart wisdom to him. This is not a man that he sees very often, but there's a mentor, someone he maybe speaks to once a year, who he needs to reach out to, who is going to impart the wisdom of the manly wisdom of the heart that he needs for this. And after the child is born, there is an ancestral helping spirit on the mother's side of the family who is also male, who will support the father in whatever way he needs support for this child's journey into adulthood to happen in a good way. And that was the information that came through here that I provided this young man with. And I share this to say that this man who killed two people in Lafayette, Louisiana, and then himself, had ancestral helping spirits who sang him into being. This Confederate flag-loving white supremacist man had beautiful gifts that he came here with, that were supposed to benefit all of us. And maybe he shared some of those gifts. We don't know if he had a beautiful voice and sang in the white supremacist KKK choir. We don't know if he brought bread to a white supremacist. I'm obviously being facetious here, but I'm not. Yes, something twisted happened here. Something twisted happened in this man's life to lead him to believe that, to believe we believe in white supremacy, whether it was, and most likely part of what played out here was ancestral energies that were mired in white supremacy and colonialist thought, obviously. Part of it was also most likely abuse. As a child, being told that your kin, that other people on earth are worse than you, and you are a child, or do not deserve to live, that's abuse. Being told that if you die and do not believe certain things as a child, you will burn in hell for all eternity, that's abuse. A confluence of at least really shitty ancestral lineage and childhood abuse, at least these energies, contributed to the twistedness of this being that led to the decisions that he made Thursday night. But that was not who he was supposed to be. This man came with gifts. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been born. Everyone who is being born, everyone who has been born, was dreamt up by an ancestral lineage, dreamt into being, prayed into being, prayed for. What happened then is so often, in many ways, up to us. I believe there were times in this man's life where he was provided with possibility. The ability to make a change, the ability to see things differently. And like that young man I saw the other night who made those disparaging words, those disparaging statements, the energy of fear held him back from choosing that new perspective. Do not let the energy of fear of powerlessness, stop us from choosing a perspective on our world that's really going to serve us. Us versus them does not serve us. Wisdom serves us. For those things that need to die, those energies that need to die, the idea of delicate surgery might be a wisdom story that serves us. Outright, them versus us, ignoring the truth of what happens when a soul is being born into this world. All of the energies and lives and gifts that collide toward that soul being born. And us versus them ideology ignores all of those things in order to soothe a moment of pain, a moment of fear, a moment of toxic anger. When we can choose more wisely. We have the heart to choose more wisely. We are powerful enough to choose more wisely.
Guy in the subway shakes the silence to the sound, and the music I have found changes subway halls to song. Guy in the subway shakes the silence to the sound, and the music I have found changes subway halls to song. Guy in the subway shakes the silence to the sound, and the music I have found changes subway halls to song.
Lift up my heavy heart that wanders. Lift up my heavy heart that wanders.
Strumming chords on circular commuting. 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 Strumming chords on circular commuting.
So far underground. Yes, so far it's so far underground.
Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me. Those guys in those bars are still jerks, still looking at her skirt, still looking at her work.
It's a shame the time's so easy to waste. Look a little closer, I'll give you a taste. Of open arms loving, easy to me, but the inner me that pain that got for me. It's about space, it's about time.
It's about giving him a quarter, then her a dime. Giving him a quarter, then her a dime. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me.
Just because I was born into this system
doesn't mean I live it.
Just because I was born here
doesn't mean I am it.
Where they draw all their lines,
don't pick it as a limit.
America is spoiled.
Clean up or swim in it. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me.
It's all in the timing. Reality is blinding. Can't even face the place that try to buy me.
Women are windows, see beyond reflection. Listen to the asking, answer better listening. Listen to the asking, answer better listening. Listen to the asking, answer better listening. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me.
So looking for my mother, calling on my sister, rode all the way uptown just because I missed her. My parents taught me, and I see it's not me, but looking at my history, zero to find me, looking at my history, zero to find me.
Push the system out of me, shake the system out of me, push the system out of me, shake the system out of me.
I'm sick of race determining our wage.
America, I feel your capitalist hand.
Keep the people down,
feel their hurt.
Keep the people down,
feel their hurt.
Offer them a crutch and charge them way too much.
Yeah, you offer
them a crutch and charge them way too much.
Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me. Push the system out of me. Shake the system out of me.
One of the questions that came up in the chat room during this episode has been, well, if we choose, if I choose something other than us versus them, will they? Will that white supremacist currently planning to blow up a church in the South, will they? Which reminds me a bit of, you know, the question of, if I put down my arms, will my enemy? Which is, I think, a really good question. I think that that's something that many of us are faced with in life and in some way, shape, or form. And I'm going to say a couple of things to that. The first thing I'm going to say is, I don't believe that we can truly change what we are immersed in. If I want an end to the colonial and racist mindset pollutes my world, then I need to bring an end to that colonial and racist mindset in me. I was born in this world. I am influenced by the advertisements that teach me to be misogynist, queer and transphobic, and hatred of my own black skin by not seeing enough of stories of myself as a person. I need to be engaged in pushing the system out of me if I want to change the system. Otherwise, I'll be fighting against energies that I'm telling myself I'm okay with existing inside myself. I do not believe that we can truly change outside of ourselves what is inside of us. And emotional clearing, Eugene Genlin wrote a book called Focusing. It is an excellent introduction to the idea of emotional clearing. It's an excellent way to begin the process of self-decolonization and pushing the system out of you. When you see how you are triggered by world events and by stupid assholes on the street who say really stupid shit about your friends, finding that nugget of how that person is inside of you, how that energy is inside of you. And the other thing I want to share, there have been a number of, I don't know how scientific they are, but there's a number of stories in our world right now about the energy of how much change can one or a few people make. But I think they're beautiful stories, and I cannot attest to their basis in quote-unquote science, but I can attest to the beauty of what they say. There's the story of the island of monkeys who all eat bananas one way, something like that. And one monkey finds a more efficient way of eating the banana, or getting the banana and eating it. And at first that monkey is alone, but then another monkey comes. And eventually enough monkeys do this thing, it's called critical mass, that, I forget the percentage, but a critical mass takes place in the population of monkeys, a critical mass is reached, and then all of a sudden, all of the monkeys start doing it the same way. I think that is, whether or not this has actually happened, I believe it's a true story about how energy moves in our world. So go look up critical mass and the story of the monkey. Another story I want to share is that of one of the individuals who's been a part of the sort of creation of the idea of emotional clearing in our world. And this individual was a psychotherapist in a mental ward that was really having some trouble. The patients there were often not allowed out, were considered very rambunctious. And what this psychotherapist did was that he took these patient files back home every night and looked at each case of his patients that were in the ward and asked, who in me exhibits this? Who in me has the potential toward exhibiting this energy? And did a process of emotional clearing. I believe that could also involve the Hawaiian reconciliation mantra known as Ho'oponopono, which is another beautiful practice of emotional hearing and reconciliation. And in doing this, in asking this question of, who in me is this? Who in me is this abomination outside of me? Everything at the mental ward began to change. I will post something in the Facebook group about this. Again, whether or not it's a true story doesn't defeat whether or not it's a true, with a capital T, story. And it said that after a few months, things were okay enough that the patients were able to experience recess again. And a few months after that, many of the patients just got well and were able to leave the ward. And it said that shortly thereafter, the ward had to close down because there were no more patients. Simply from this one individual asking, who in me? Who in me? Oneness is actionable. And some actions, as we bring in a close to this episode, that we can take in our righteous rage, in our righteous anger, in our sadness and grief, are to do what I began this show with. To every day call in those energies that you want to see more of in the world. Especially if you feel committed to getting rid of those energies that you feel are detracting from goodness in our world. Nature abhors a vacuum. Don't just go killing people and cursing people to death that you feel are causing harm in the world without turning around and calling in those energies that you want to replace them with. Call in the energy of beauty. Stand at your personal altar and place a stone there that is the most beautiful stone you've ever found that someone gifted you many years ago. And say, today I call in the energy of beauty. Today I call in the energy of song and all of its healing and reconciling manifestations. Today I call in those ancestral helping spirits that lived well and died well and met the challenges of their time. I call them in and I give them these offerings because Lord knows there's a whole lot of ancestors who did not meet the challenges of their times, who are walking around as ghosts. And they are getting a lot of play. They are getting a lot of play. They are getting heard. They are on the airwaves. They're coming out of Donald Trump's mouth. We have to call in those energies. I call in the energy of community. We must every day call in those energies that we want to see more of in the world. Call them in as archetypes. Call them in as the energies that they are. Beauty, love, community, courage, joy. Because there are people, inadvertently, all over our world, calling in energies that don't serve us. Actively call in the energies that do. Additionally, learning to heal your ancestral line, the story that we are living, this horror, this American horror story. We don't need a television show. We don't need a fictional television show. We're living. This American horror story was created by our ancestors. And we need to reach back and provide them with the healing from fear, the healing from ostracization that they need. There's an ongoing meme on Facebook I've seen so many times, and it shows two black women holding machetes, and it says, my Egun be like, we're ready. Chances are your Egun, which is the sort of Yoruba Ifa term for ancestors, chances are your Egun are not ready. Your Egun, your ancestors, are not. Some of your ancestral helping spirits are ready and are equipped to bless you and bless us with the gifts that they cultivated during their lives. most of our ancestors are not. Our Egun are not ready. Our Egun, our ancestors, made these decisions that have left us with this American horror story. And if we want to change the story, we need to bring healing to them, real healing, healing that moves them on so that they can reconcile their lives and come back with wisdom and truth for us. We need to do our shadow work. There are many processes for doing shadow work, for resolving those energies in ourselves that are deeper than emotional clearing can really reach, these parts of ourselves that we have exiled out of fear, when they are truly gifted parts of ourselves. Research and find a form of shadow work and do the shadow work. That is another wonderful way of bringing in those energies that we actually need. We need those gifts that you, in a moment of fear as a child, exiled from yourself. We need them back. I need them back. I need those gifts that you exiled, that became shadow parts, I need them back for my world to be as beautiful as I know it can be. So do your shadow work. And find out what brings you joy. These are the actions. These are some actions that in these moments of fear, in these moments of powerlessness, in these moments of grief, we can turn to. And we can do them daily. We can do them weekly and know that we are making a positive impact on our world. That reclaiming the gifts that I exiled years ago is a part of our world being more beautiful. It's a necessary part. No less important than calling out truth to power. Absolutely no less important than that. Finding your soul's purpose and living it. You came here with beautiful gifts, with a beautiful purpose, which is not an action. It's an energy. Your soul's purpose is an energy. It is not an action. Actions, whether it's going to be to open that franchise or start that business, these are vehicles for our soul's purpose. Finding our soul's purpose, standing in that, getting rid of anything standing in the way of us being fully our soul's purpose, and asking spirit for vehicles to live our soul's purpose. This is spiritual activism as well. And I invite you to join me in these acts. This has been another episode of On Sacred Ground with your host, Kai Armand. Tune in next week as we continue to go deep into the heart of human experience in which place plays a primary role. Until then, keep a light in your window for courage in our times. I'll be keeping the light in mind.